Our scripture reading this evening is found in the book of Exodus, the second book of Moses, second book of the Bible, and chapter 18. In Exodus chapter 18. Now that Israel has passed across the Red Sea, through the Red Sea, into the wilderness, this book becomes an account of the experiences in the wilderness and speaks to us of the pilgrimage of God's people through this present world unto the age that is to come. So Exodus chapter 18. Exodus 18. And Jethro, the priest of Midian, Moses' father-in-law, heard of all that God had done for Moses and for Israel his people, that the Lord had brought Israel out of Egypt. Then Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, took Zipporah, Moses' wife, after he had sent her back, with her two sons, of whom the name of one was Gershom, for he said, I have been a stranger in a strange land. And the name of the other was Eleazar, for he said, the God of my father was my help, and delivered me from the sword of Pharaoh. And Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, came with his sons and his wife to Moses in the wilderness, where he was encamped at the mountain of God. Now he had said to Moses, I, your father-in-law Jethro, am coming to you, with your wife and her two sons with her. So Moses went out to meet his father-in-law, bowed down and kissed him. And they asked each other about their well-being, and they went into the tent. And Moses told his father-in-law all the Lord had done to Pharaoh and to the Egyptians for Israel's sake, all the hardship that had come upon them on the way, and how the Lord had delivered them. Then Jethro rejoiced for all the good which the Lord had done for Israel, whom he had delivered out of the hand of the Egyptians. And Jethro said, Blessed be the Lord, who has delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians, and out of the hand of Pharaoh, and who has delivered the people from under the hand of the Egyptians. Now I know that the Lord is greater than all the gods, for in the very thing in which they behaved themselves proudly, he was above them. Then Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, took a burnt offering and other sacrifices to offer to God. And Aaron came with all the elders of Israel to eat bread with Moses' father-in-law before God. And so it was on the next day that Moses sat to judge the people. And the people stood before Moses from morning until evening. So when Moses' father-in-law saw all that he did for the people, he said, What is this thing that you are doing for the people? Why do you alone sit, and all the people stand before you from morning until evening? And Moses said to his father-in-law, Because the people come to me to inquire of God. When they have a difficulty, they come to me, and I judge between one and another, and I make known the statutes of God and his laws. So Moses' father-in-law said to him, The thing that you do is not good. Both you and these people who are with you will surely wear yourselves out. For this thing is too much for you. You are not able to perform it by yourself. Listen now to my voice. I will give you counsel, and God will be with you. Stand before God for the people, so that you may bring the difficulties to God. And you shall teach them the statutes and the laws, and show them the way in which they must walk, and the work they must do. Moreover, you shall select from all the people able men, such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness, and place such over them to be rulers of thousands, rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties, and rulers of tens. And let them judge the people at all times. Then it will be that every great matter they shall bring to you, but every small matter they themselves shall judge. So it will be easier for you, for they will bear the burden with you. If you do this thing, and God so commands you, Then you will be able to endure, and all this people will also go to their place in peace. So Moses heeded the voice of his father-in-law, and did all that he had said. And Moses chose able men out of all Israel, and made them heads over the people, rulers of thousands, rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties, and rulers of tens. So they judged the people at all times. The hard cases they brought to Moses, but they judged every small case themselves. Then Moses let his father-in-law depart, and he went his way to his own land. And we trust God to bless the reading of his most holy and precious word. Our text this evening is found in the chapter that we read, Exodus chapter 18 and verse 9. Then Jethro rejoiced for all the good which the Lord had done for Israel, whom he had delivered out of the hand of the Egyptians. Now Jethro was a pagan priest. He was not of Israel, he was of one of the other tribes. He was of Midian, another nation, to which there were given none of the promises made unto Israel. But Israel was always given the promise that in them, in you, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. The Old Testament, though it centers upon this nation, is not exclusive. Israel was never to look at the nations round about and say, well, they are not of Abraham, they are not of our promises, therefore the gospel, the word of God, is not for them. But they were instead to call the nations to believe in God and to join themselves with Israel. Even the Old Testament is not exclusive, but calls all to believe in this God, who is the God not of one nation only, but the God of all the earth. In you, it was said to Abraham, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. And we see something of that in Jethro, this man who comes, who knows Moses, and who comes in this chapter to faith in the God of Israel. Jethro comes to believe, and as he comes into the household of faith, he is used also to bless others, and to bless even Moses himself. So we see first of all the welcome that Jethro received. We see the worship that Jethro gave, and we see the wisdom which he brought even to Moses. We have the welcome first of all, the worship as he came to believe, and the wisdom that he was granted, and that was a blessing that he imparted to even Israel and Moses himself. And so first we have this welcome. Here is Jethro, a non-Israelite, a Midianite. And he reminds us that though the Old Testament speaks much of this nation of Israel, it was never about race in the modern sense. That's a modern concept. But it was always about God's chosen people. But that people were a people to whom those who were not God's people could join themselves. They were a chosen nation, but a nation that was always to be calling others to come and to believe in God. And it was to Jethro that Moses had gone when he was fleeing from Pharaoh, when he had lifted up his hand and struck down an Egyptian and killed him because he had seen the Egyptian beating to death an Israelite. And he had been forced to flee and been given sanctuary by this priest of Midian, this man who and allowed Moses into his household and seen Moses as a refugee, we would say, a man running away seeking refuge from a nation and a ruler who would slay him. And he opened his doors and let this man in, and had not turned him away, but had given to him that hospitality which in the East is the greatest thing that a man can give. He let him into his family, given him his own daughter, and Moses had become a part of his family, and he had become a part of Moses' family. And now as he came to Moses, he was welcome. Now Moses had come to him as a refugee, a homeless man, a man fleeing for his life, a fugitive. And now Moses was the leader of Israel, not by his own power or desire, but by God's sovereign choice and calling. And Moses did not then despise the man who once had helped him, but welcomed him, went out to meet him, verse 7, bowed down and kissed him. A typical greeting, a greeting saying, "You are indeed my family still." And they asked each other about their well-being and went into the tent. He showed courtesy, no pride, no exclusiveness. He welcomed him. And he welcomed him and told him about what God had done. Moses did not speak about what Moses had done, but what God had done. Moses, we are told, was the meekest of men, a man who thought very little about himself and a great deal about God. Moses knew that all these things were the work of God, and he spoke of them as the work of God. For it is this that the people of God are called to do, to share with others, not our own works, but the wonderful works of God. What God has done, what God has done in his grace and his mercy. And Moses spoke not about ordinary things, but the wonders of God's grace. Oh yes, they were wonders of judgment against Egypt. But Moses, of course, speaking as an Israelite, spoke of them as the wonders of grace. He told Jethro how God had delivered them out of the hand of the Egyptians. That is grace. That is salvation. That is deliverance. He spoke of the wonders of grace. And it is that which we are called to tell others of, the wonders of God's grace in the Lord Jesus. That is what the church dwells upon, thinks upon, speaks of the all-surpassing grace of God. That while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That God sent his Son into the world to save us from our sins. The Egyptians were bad enough as tyrants. Pharaoh was bad enough. But sin is a much worse tyrant. Sin holds people in chains that no human hand can break. Pharaoh could only enslave the body, but sin enslaves the soul. But God breaks the chains of cancelled sin. He sets the captive free. His blood can make the foulest clean, says Mr. Wesley. His blood availed for me. Moses gives a proper testimony of salvation, where he speaks very much of God and very little of himself. He is the recipient. We are merely the recipients of the grace of God. We are the ones upon whom God has shown His grace, to whom God has given His own beloved Son. But God is the giver. God is the worker. God is the one who, while we were yet sinners, redeemed and delivered us. God is the one who breaks open the door and sets the captive free. Long my imprisoned spirit lay, says Mr. Wesley, fast bound in sin and nature's night. Thine eye diffused a quickening ray. I woke, the dungeon flamed with light. My chains fell off, my heart was free. I rose, went forth, and followed thee. Now there is a Christian giving a true biblical testimony. This is what God has done. This is the mercy, the grace of God. And so Moses welcomed his father-in-law and told him of the grace, the mercy that he had received. The welcome. And then we have the worship. Moses spoke of the words, of the works of the Lord. And you will notice that Jethro did not see a miracle. He heard of what God had done, but he did not see it. But faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, or the word of Christ. Faith comes by hearing, by receiving God's word. There are those who imagine, foolish it is, fond imagination, who imagine that, oh, if men were to see miracles today, then they would believe. But if all we do is speak the word, they say, what can we expect? Jethro didn't see a miracle, never saw one, but he heard the word of God. And on the other hand, those who saw Christ's miracles did not believe. Bethsaida, Chorazin, they saw the miracles of God, but they did not believe. Of that great crowd, the thousands who saw Christ feed them with a few small loaves and fishes, not one of those believed. The disciples alone were left, and the rest went away because they did not believe, even though they saw the miracle. What was the difference why the disciples received the word of God? And it is by the word that faith comes. And Jethro heard the word of God, and he received the word. Then Jethro rejoiced on hearing the word, for all the good which the Lord had done for Israel, whom he had delivered out of the hand of the Egyptians. He heard God's word, and it sank down into his heart. And then he said, blessed be the Lord. He spoke out, he rejoiced in worship. Blessed be the Lord, who has delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians, and out of the hand of Pharaoh, and who has delivered the people from under the hand of the Egyptians. Then he rejoiced in worship, and he praised, and he blessed the name of the Lord, and he recognized this God is God. This is the one who is over all. He did not rejoice in what Moses had done. He rejoiced in what God had done. And he rejoiced in this one who calls himself by the name of Yahweh. The name Jehovah, the elder translations put it. The one who has revealed his name, the God who is I am who I am. And he said, "Now I know that the Lord is greater than all the gods. For in the very thing in which they behaved themselves proudly, he was above them." All the gods of Egypt, you see. The god of the Nile, who was supposed to control fertility, seen by God's work, blasting the Nile, turning the waters to blood, that it was not happy, the god of the Nile, but this God, the Lord, Yahweh, who is over the Nile. It was seen by each of the plagues that it is this God who controls all things. They worshipped the sun god, the god who they believed gave light, and God gave them darkness at noonday that they could not see. In the very thing that the pagan gods were supposed to control, the true God showed that he controls them all. And we know that an idol is nothing in the world. They are vanities. They are naught. But God shows himself to be the true God. He is the one who alone has spoken in this world. He is the one who alone has come into this world, because he is the one who alone exists. "I am who I am," he says. But none of the other so-called gods. There are so-called lords many, so-called gods many. But there is only in fact one God. And so, listening to this word of God, Jethro accepted it and believed it. And so it is, you see, that when we hear and receive the word of God, every other supposed God, be it what it may, is seen to be nothing. And this true God is seen to be the only God. Men make for themselves so many different idols, so many things they look at and say, this, that, or the other has done it. But when God opens our eyes, then we cast the idols away. And we say, this God, and this alone. "Long time," says Mr. Hart, "I after idols ran. But now my God's a martyred man. I look at Calvary. I look at the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there is God. There is God in his grace, in his mercy, bearing the sins of his own people. There is the God of love and the love of God. There is the God of justice and the justice of God. Our God who comes to us. Our God who has come, who dwells with us as Emmanuel, God with us. Here is the one we bow down and worship." And then Jethro took a burnt offering and other sacrifices. We cannot come to God but by the sacrifice. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission, no taking away of sins. But by his blood, Jesus Christ says, "This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." He leads us to his cross, and there we see the bleeding sacrifice. There we see the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. There we have the one sacrifice for sins. Jethro knew, you see, that his sin must be dealt with if he is to come to God. And he knew that it must be by the way that God himself has ordained, the way of sacrifice. And all these Old Testament sacrifices, they lead at last to the cross, to the final complete sacrifice that takes away guilt. And then once the sacrifice was made, Aaron came with all the elders of Israel to eat bread with Moses' father-in-law before God, eating together to declare that they were one in God, even as we gather round the table of the Lord as one people because we eat of one bread, as one people who drink of one cup, united by the blood of Christ, united by the sacrifice, the one who feeds us with his own flesh and blood, who makes us who were not a people to be a people in him. The worship that declared that they were one in God, the worship that the word of God brought forth as Jethro cast away all his previous gods and believed and trusted in the true and living God. And then we have the wisdom. God indeed gives to each of his people gifts. And each of us has different gifts, which we together contribute. The Apostle Paul used the image of a body. And each part of the body has a different function. And each part is necessary to the healthy functioning of the body. You cannot take away from a human body any part without marring the whole. And so every member of the church has something to give. And in Jethro's case, it was wisdom about governing the people. Jethro, as priest of Midian, would have been one of the leaders of the people, a man who was given under God's providence certain tasks involving administration of justice, administration of the nation. And Moses himself sat as judge. And why did Moses sit as judge? Well, because he understood that justice matters to God. Moses had always understood this as long as God had worked in his heart. He looked out at Israel toiling in slavery and said, that is unjust, that is wrong. There must be justice for this people, he said. And that is why, when he saw that poor man being beaten to death, a very image of the injustice Israel suffered, he, seeing no one around to help that poor man, threw himself into the fray to give justice. And now, as Israel travelled in the wilderness, difficulties arose. They always will among people. There will always be difficulties and differences between people in any community. As long as we are here on the earth, as long as we are sinners. And therefore there had to be a judge. And Moses sat as judge to make known not his own opinions, not his own ideas, but to make known, verse 16, the statutes of God and his laws. That the people might be told, this is the will of God. This is God's way. This is what justice and righteousness looks like. And he did this and was close to wearing himself out with it, because he understood anew that God is the judge of all the earth. And God desires justice. And God calls for justice. And so Moses sought to do his best to reflect God's justice, to teach them that they might do the right thing, listen to God's word. And yet, no mere man can be the judge for all the world. God alone can do that. There is only one man who shall sit in judgment over the whole world, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ, when he comes again. When God shall judge the whole world in righteousness by this man, this Jesus. But to Moses, God by Jethro brings this instruction. Now Moses, well, he had no experience of being a judge. He had no experience of being a community leader in this way. And he did what most men do when put in that position. It was not out of pride that he took all the work to himself, but because learning how to delegate is a very difficult thing. And he must be taught. And God sent him a man to teach him to delegate, to select able men, men who could be leaders, rulers of thousands, rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties, and rulers of tens. Now it's notable that here the organisation is that of the military. 1,000 would be a regiment, and then the regiment would go all the way down through to the tens, the single squads. And Israel would be called indeed to conquer a land. But this was the normal way that nations were organised then. They were organised in basically a military structure. And each had their leader who would judge the people at all times. And only the big cases, the important cases, would be brought to Moses to make it easier for him. And so Moses, because he was the meekest of men, because he was a man whom God had given wisdom himself and had given that greatest gift of humility, so Moses listened, heeded the voice of his father-in-law and did all that he had said. Here was this new convert, this man who had just been converted, and he had a gift to bring. A gift that God had given. And each of us, we have in the life of the church something to give. Some gift, some blessing, which God has given to us that we may share and impart to others. Moses, the man of God, the meekest of men, listened. And we too are called, first of all, each to listen. First of all, to that same humility. To think more of others than ourselves. Why? Well, because the Lord Jesus Christ is our pattern. And he came, meek and lowly of heart. He came not to be served, but to serve. Not to be somebody great. He is somebody great. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. But not to be somebody great, but to give himself as an offering for many. There are no lords spiritual in the church. There is but one Lord in the church, and he is Christ. There is but one King in the church, but one ruler. And the rest of us, we are his people who serve him, and we serve him in serving one another. For it is indeed finally all about God. Jethro rejoiced for all the good which the Lord had done for Israel, whom he had delivered out of the hand of the Egyptians. In his providence, God has wrought salvation by the cross of Christ. And we are called to hear that word of salvation, to come and welcome unto Jesus Christ, to hear him. And it is his works, his words, that lead us to worship. And it is he who is the judge of all and the ruler of all. It is Christ who is all and in all to the church. And as we hear what he has done, as we hear who he is, and that God has set him on high and given to him the name above every other name, let us indeed fall down and worship. And worship him, the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. For at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen.